When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Practice Report. It's brought to you by Byers Auto. Ohio State, one day, one practice closer to a top 10 matchup with Michigan State on Saturday at noon in the Horseshoe. That is Spencer Holbrook, Tim May, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. And a busy evening for the Buckeyes as they get through an outdoor practice getting ready for the Spartans. And they sent out a couple seniors. And Chris Olave talking about his last opportunity in the Horseshoe. And CJ Stroud, one of a rare opportunity to talk to the quarterback in a non-post-game session. I thought there was some pretty enlightening comments from him. Handful of other Buckeyes. Berm, anything jump out to you that's your number one takeaway tonight?
I think it's just the balance of everything that's going into this sort of game. You're obviously playing a top 10 team. You're at home. You're trying to play for the Big Ten title, the college football berth, the senior day. There's all this stuff going on. And, you know, I thought it was interesting, just kind of enlightening. Chris Olave was asked about the fact that Michigan State has the number 130 ranked pass defense in the country. And he said, yeah, we've noticed. We know that. And he wasn't trying to say it in a cocky way. I think he just was like, hey, you know, we know that that's an opportunity. And that's something certainly you see the Buckeyes with a lot of confidence heading into this game about what they think they can do offensively.
Both Chris Olave and CJ Stroud, they may not say an awful lot of words, but they always cut straight to the point. Maybe that's that California lifestyle for them. But, you know, CJ said it. You see their 130. They get a stat sheet, a printout when they go into the week and tips. Like, they know that that's the situation, but you still have to go out and actually execute that and take advantage because, as they said, I mean, this is a Big Ten team that's ranked in the top 10 that's won a lot of games.
It's weird because they said that, but at the same time, they said all the right things about, you know, respecting the opponent and knowing that they're better than what the numbers show. And I think CJ Stroud did a really nice job of kind of correcting the question, saying like, well, we know the stat, but at the same time, we know that, you know, that they're a good defense. We're going to have to prepare just like we did. And the other thing that I noted was they're just as focused right now. You know, everybody wants to turn the attention to the rivalry game, but that's impossible this week. And a lot of these guys went through it in 2019 when they had to play Penn State the week before they played Michigan. And I think that's an important experience for some of these guys to know what that's like, to focus up before the rivalry game. You prepare for that 365 days a year, but you got a massive one right before that. And this is a confident bunch, but it's also a pretty locked in bunch.
Yeah, you know, I asked CJ if there's a sense of maybe more confidence coming out of last week's game compared to the previous 2 weeks, you know, when in fact this offense clicked on every cylinder last week. I think we all agree on that. And he, you know, basically said, yeah, but he didn't get into like this rah, rah, rah stuff. It's more like, you know, getting your job done, you know, day to day, play to play, and practicing, focusing on what's coming Saturday. But the other thing I asked him, though, do you feel blessed having these three receivers? Because, you know, we've talked about it all along. The analogy I used is he's a race car driver, got plunked into one of the great race cars out there. All he had to do was learn how to drive this thing competently, hit the right buttons and stuff. And he went through, instead of talking about the receivers, he went through the litany of everybody he's blessed to be playing with, including the offensive line and including the tight ends, including the running backs. And this is a guy, at least with us, the way he expresses himself, definitely gets it. He's a part of this machine right now. But let's face it, he is the most important part. And he wants to keep it on the down low and just keep improving. And that really impresses you. He didn't get in there and start bragging about himself, being a, like we were talking about, the odds-on possible leader for the Heisman Trophy, et cetera. You know, that comes in 3 weeks.
I think that something like this, maybe it doesn't matter to everyone out there, but it does to me and those around covering the team. I think in some ways that the fact that CJ Stroud, who's always been available after games, including when he lost one in week two, those sorts of situations, still in pads, still high emotion, running through your blood, adrenaline, like they're not a great opportunity to get to know CJ Stroud. And Berm and I, you know, went out to California and Rancho Cucamonga and have spent sit down. Like, I'm not going to say that we know him better than anyone else, but we've got a different insight. And I think in a lot of ways he's been judged unfairly in situations that are difficult and challenging. And to sit down on a Wednesday when there's, you know, a chance to relax and rewind and talk about some of the things that he's been through, it's a lot different than, you know, right after a game. Like, did you need to run the football more? Like, those things are hard to answer, and you get a different perspective when you're removed from that. And he's also just he's not the same as Justin Fields. He's not the same as Dwayne Haskins. He's not the same as JT Barrett. He's got a different personality. Yeah.
But he's the same that he's been since we were out in California in 2019. And that's what impresses me, is that CJ really, the moment isn't too big for him, and it hasn't been, despite the fact that he's been put into the spotlight. And even today, I mean, CJ Stroud's a redshirt freshman, and of course, people want to ask him about Quinn Ewers, because why? I get it. I guess people
because he's gotten to watch him practice.
People want to talk that's about legit. It.
It doesn't make any difference.
There's a lot of rumors out there about Quinn, and CJ, you know, says, hey, I'm taking him under my wing. I was homesick and far away from home. Like, there's a lot of things that it's easy to listen to that and think, oh, this is a guy that's been here for 4 or 5 years, like JT Barrett was. But CJ Stroud's been here for 2 years.
Yeah.
And he does understand that he has a role to play in this team that is, I think, bigger than just being the quarterback. And that's what constantly impresses me about him, is he answers the questions directly every time, post-game, tonight, wherever you talk to him. And, you know, kudos to CJ for not letting himself become something bigger than what he was.
Well, I think that's my point about the way he's answered that stuff. Like, I'm not a running back. Like, the thing he kept saying to us when he was still in high school was, like, he doesn't like it when people are wishy-washy. He is not going to lie. He's not going to pretend something is true and not true. Like, he's a straight shooter, and it comes off, differently to some people than others. And people, like, scoffed and said that I was blindly defending him, like, that I thought he was joking about the running thing. I mean, what he's saying is how he feels. I appreciate that about him, because not all quarterbacks do that.
Yeah, so this is about you, not him. No, I'm just messing.
In some ways, yeah, I guess.
No,
it
you're
is,
but, no, you're I exactly mean, right. We all knew what he meant, you know. I mean, but if you want to take it a certain way, you can.
He's got a lot of conviction about him, and I think that's one of the things that I think is the most impressive about him. And, you know, he wears everything on his sleeve, whether it's I'm not a running back, to, you know, I'm going to throw it to the guy that's open to me, even to stretching into his faith. You know, that's off-putting to some people, but that's CJ Stroud, and he's not going to apologize for anything that he says or anything that he does. And I think that's one of the reasons that he has become a leader of this team, is because when he says something, it's real, and he means it, and it's, you know, it's rooted in, you know, the truth of what he's trying to get across, and he's not going to mince words about it. I think that's the thing that impresses me the most, especially when you see it on a Wednesday and not just on a Saturday after a game.
What I like most about him at this moment in this season, this juncture, is his confidence. Is, you know, I think it's always been there. Like, you guys got to know him and stuff. He knew he was capable.
Yeah.
Give him the shot. But his confidence now, and like I remember I asked Ryan Day that question a couple of weeks ago, you know, how do you play that thing between confident and cocky, you know? And I think he's a perfect example of how you play it confident. And like you just said, I like his direct answers to questions, and he doesn't just, like, he puts some effort, some thought into his answers, which is outstanding from a media standpoint.
Yeah, and it's different when you just have 5 minutes and they're going to
move
you off of the podium. We don't have to continue to belabor that point. I do think there is an element of this still where he's in tune with the perception of him, and he doesn't truly care about it, and he will address it. But this is a different situation. You're being called the Heisman Trophy frontrunner.
Yeah.
You're dealing with success the same way that he had to deal with criticism. He's doing all this for the first time at Ohio State. Now, he's had a lot of adversity in his life previous to Ohio State, so I know that won't faze him. I talked to him about that a little bit after practice tonight. We'll get into that a little bit later on, because I think he's probably going to wind up in New York City. We'll have time for those stories then. Yeah. Berm, anything else that jumped out to you tonight?
I mean, I think it's the story of Chris Booker, the story of Bradley Robinson. These are the guys that we got a chance to talk to. Walk-ons, guys that have been here a long time. Brad Robinson, whose brother played at Michigan, is another long snapper. Booker, you know, just the joy that some of these kids have about the opportunities that they get. And I think sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about, oh, the next big star. But there's so many pieces of this puzzle that make a successful football program. And, you know, we see Mayan Williams come out tonight. And Mayan has had a rough year. I mean, there's a lot of people who would say, oh, he should be looking to transfer. And all he's trying to do is get better every single week. And we saw Mayan last week kind of be healthy and what he can bring as a compliment to Travion Henderson.
And they like to compliment each other.
And he's realizing what his role is. And that's important as anything else. And a team where this kid thought, probably 5 months ago, he thought he was going to be the man. And now he's realized, hey, I have a role to play. It may not be what I thought it was, but that goes across the board. That even goes to Chris Olave. This is a kid who came back to be a to be a superstar first round pick, and he's going to be a first round pick, and he is obviously a superstar, but he's sort of overshadowed on his own team with Garrett Wilson and Jackson Smith and Jigba. But these kids don't care. They just, they're all moving towards something together, and I think that's obvious.
That's the underlying, I guess, theme of the night is, you know, accepting your role. Chris Olave knows his role despite being the best wide receiver in America. Bradley Robinson, Chris Booker both have roles to play. Paris Johnson's playing guard, for God's sakes. He's the number one tackle in the country. You know, could be the number one pick next year, and he's playing guard right now. And then, you know, CJ Stroud's grabbed the leadership role completely, you know, by the horns. And so it's one of these, you know, kind of crazy things about this team is there's so many five-star guys. There's so many superstars that could have these egos, and yet – what you're seeing right now is a bunch of guys just doing what they need to do to get to the college football playoff. And I think that's why you're seeing them start to rise to the top of the rankings, to rise to the top of the Big Ten, the, you know, Vegas odds, all of that stuff is not because of the superstars. It's because these guys know their roles and they do them really, really well.
Yeah, it's just funny because I asked Chris Olave about David Boston a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he hadn't really done any research, and he admitted he still hasn't Googled, you know, done any research on David Boston. The guy he's about to pass, but that's just like guys like me want to know how he sees himself historically at Ohio State. I mean,
because Boston was 4 years before he was even born.
But he did play in San Diego.
No, wait a minute. Now, why are you slamming? The point is,
I'm just saying, like, if you ask him about Mike Thomas,
exactly,
the guy.
But you can Google video of the. I'm not slamming him for that. My point is, he didn't fake, like, you know, this big deal about David Boston. I mean, he knows he's about to pass that guy on this list. Probably leave him in his dust is the main thing. And that's what I got to with him. You know, the senior day that's coming up where he gets to run out, you know, yeah, he left no doubt that he's taking advantage of that because this will be his last game in Ohio Stadium. But he has left his mark. And a lot of guys come in here 4 or 5 years later, don't leave their mark. And it's just a remarkable moment for him because, you know, this time next year, somebody's going to be chasing that career touchdown catch mark at Ohio State, and it's going to be Chris Olave's they're going to be chasing. Now, I wish it had happened last week when I made that big, bold prediction, but it
I came close. Chris, I asked Chris, I'm like, he's very, very, like, emotionless.
Yes.
Very, you know, milquetoast, boring guy. And I said, you know, when is this going to hit you, everything that you've done here? And he said, maybe after the game, but he said, it doesn't matter until after then. Like, nothing matters except for getting there. And I was trying to get him to cry talking about senior day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to – here's a bold prediction, a bonus bold prediction. You guys will see the other video on Friday. Chris Olave is going to cry coming out of the tunnel before the game on Saturday.
Jeremy Rinaldi.
I think he's got to go last, right?
I mean,
he's got to be the last one introduced.
Well, I don't know. Haskell,
Garrett. Yeah. And you have a block O. Like, you've got three candidates there, three captains, three candidates to go last. I mean,
a real brotherhood, they'd all walk out together.
Oh. Well, it is about individuals on this one day. Last guys that were off the practice field, Berm will really appreciate this one, I think. Lathan Ransom and Cameron Martinez, they turned out the lights. They're like, you guys have to get off the outdoor field. Those defensive backs get in some extra work.
I don't want to keep – this show's going to run long, but I did ask Lathan, how hard is it as a kid who expected to be the starter this year, and now you don't know week in, week out, how much you're going to play, if at all. How difficult is that with confidence? How difficult is that with competence? And Lathan admitted, this has been a tough year for these defensive backs because they don't know. And I wanted to get to the heart of the question, Spencer, which is this rotation stuff driving you guys as crazy as it does us? And he said, that's my role. That's what I have to do this year. I have to be ready no matter what.
Everything's about roles right now.
That's a great point. That's what they're here for on the practice.
Wide receivers should keep their roles in mind on Saturday.
I wish that this was the pre-Thanksgiving show because then we could talk about dinner rolls and walk right out the door.
Austin Endless.
I'm so hungry.
That's all I got to say about Birmingham.
This has been the practice report brought to you by Byers Auto. It's fully off the rails. That means it's time for us to go. That's Spencer Holbrook, Tim May, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Stay with us for full coverage of Michigan State coming into the Horseshoe on Saturday at noon at LettermanRow.com. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.